This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
China's probably going to stop buying as much U.S. debt as it has been. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. We often hear that a lot of U.S. debt is held by foreign countries. And it's true, out of the $20 trillion worth of treasury bills and notes and bonds that the U.S. government has issued, about $6 trillion is held by foreign countries. China is one of them. And we heard this week that China bought about more than $127 billion worth of U.S. government debt last year. That is the largest increase in 8 years. But as 2018 gets going, we're finding that U.S. debt is becoming less attractive to some countries, including China. With us to talk about this is Chris Lowe. He's chief economist at FTN Financial. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
So, Chris, why did China buy up so much debt last year when yields were low?
Well, I think what it boils down to is they really weren't thinking much about yields. What they were focused on was new capital controls. These were rules put in place that prevented people from moving cash out of China to stabilize the Chinese currency. It ended up being almost too effective. China's currency strengthened so much against the dollar that it's actually hurt Chinese trade. But in 2017, the cash piled up at home. Individual investors weren't allowed to take it out of the country, and corporate investors were also not allowed to take cash out of the country. And as a result, it went into investments, and a lot of it landed in U.S. treasuries.
At this point, yields are rising, and you'd think that that would make U.S. debt more attractive. But it looks like China is planning to buy less of it moving forward, and Japan has already been buying less U.S. debt. Why is that?
Well, that's right. They are buying less at higher yields, and the reason is that they are relaxing their currency controls. And so investors are once again able to look at hard assets, at buying things like U.S. companies, U.S. real estate, and other alternatives to securities. The other one is they've got fewer dollars coming in. The trade surplus in China is shrinking, and with fewer dollars coming in as a result, they've got less to invest.
So whether China is buying our debt is not all about us, basically.
No, and that's actually a really good thing. At the beginning of the year, there was a rumor that China's government had made a decision to reduce its investment in treasuries. And later it was explained that they had just finished a rebalancing of assets that involved quite a bit of treasury buying. And they were simply taking a break now because their holdings had reached levels that were at the high end of where they want them to be.
All right, Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Sabri.
And let's do the numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 35 points. That's almost 0.2%. The S&P 500 is up about 0.1%. The NASDAQ is up about 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.86%. Airplanes make a lot of noise, obviously. Nobody knows that better than someone who lives right by an airport. Some researchers are saying that it's more than an inconvenience. They say airplane noise can hurt the health and productivity of the people who live nearby and under flight paths. As Eilish O'Neill reports from Seattle, some of those very people are asking the federal government for help.
Maria Bateola says the planes flying over Seattle's Beacon Hill neighborhood are so loud they wake her up in the middle of the night.
I remember running to my son and saying, is there a war? Because it feels like it's so low. Not only is it a stressor, it impacts your sleep.
John Levy is a public health researcher at Boston University. He says when planes disturb sleep,
that can increase stress levels. And we know that increased stress is a risk factor for having hypertension or high blood pressure.
And Levy adds, airplane noise doesn't just harm health. It can also affect people at work and kids at school.
It's harder for them to learn and to retain information.
U.S. Democratic Congressman Adam Smith of Washington State is a founding member of a House caucus that focuses on aircraft noise. His district includes Beacon Hill.
The only good news is the new 737s are quieter, but there's a lot more of them, and they're coming in at a lower altitude sooner. So a broader array of communities are impacted by it.
The Federal Aviation Administration does have rules about this. It requires airports to calculate how much noise pollution flights might be causing. Those calculations are used to decide which neighborhoods qualify for funding to soundproof houses, apartment buildings, and schools. But some question the accuracy of those noise measurements. Under the FAA's current rules, Seattle's Beacon Hill isn't eligible for that kind of money.
The FAA needs to do more to help out communities impacted by airport noise. They need to provide more money and more funds to help with mitigation than they currently do. So we're working on legislation that can expand what the FAA can fund.
The FAA comes up for reauthorization in March. Smith is trying to put his proposal into that measure. In Seattle, I'm Alicia O'Neill for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week is Ben Tolliday. And I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.